Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, we thank you for this time, and we thank you, Lord, that you're the one, because that's what we have committed to, that's the decision we've made, as individuals and as a group, that you're the one who's in control, not us. And Lord, I thank you for this time once again, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for, more than anything, the Holy Spirit that brings insight, brings wisdom, brings teaching, comfort to your people, Lord. So we rely on that this morning, and again, we thank you for this day. This is a day you have made. We rejoice. We're glad in it. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence, Lord, as a group, as a church, and as family, Lord, part of your kingdom, part of you, Lord Jesus, your body, to celebrate you today. And we thank you for, again, wisdom, insight, knowledge, more than anything, for your word. The word that was, that is to come. The word that was before time, during time, and after time. Never passes away. Everything else will, but your word, Lord Jesus, you will never pass away. So we thank you for that this morning. All of us just look to you this morning. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father, our cry today is change our hearts. Change our hearts, Lord. Once again, like David, we cry out, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways and see if there's any wicked way in me. Father, this morning we want to see ourselves the way you see us. And the way others see us, Lord. So that even in a deeper and greater way, we can be changed and conformed into your image and likeness, not our own. Your word and your spirit, they are truth. This morning, Lord, we desire with all of our hearts to be filled in even a deeper and greater way with your spirit and with truth. Cause us always to look in a mirror and to be able to discern what we see. Not to consider ourselves, Lord, but to consider others so that we can change, so that you can change us by, again, your Spirit and Word to make us what you want us to be so that we can be in your image and your likeness. Conforming only to the will of God, our Father, as you did, Jesus. Yielding and surrendering only to His will, not our own. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you've called us and chosen us and brought us out of darkness, translated and planted us in your kingdom of your dear Son, into the kingdom of light and life. And that life more abundantly. We magnify you, Lord. We do declare you are awesome. And we thank you, Lord, as we've already prayed in this song, that you're changing our hearts. Let us see what we really look like to you, Lord. Not concerned with what others think necessarily, Lord, but with what you think. And remind us again, Lord, that this all is about love. Your love for us. Love that Jesus demonstrated by obeying you, Lord. And now the love that you've commanded us to demonstrate towards one another. When you love somebody, Lord, you don't find fault. You don't succumb to lies and accusations, Lord. But you stand up. And Lord, I want to declare this morning, I see these people as righteous, as your children, as your sons and daughters, Lord. Perfect in your eyes, Lord. And whatever we perceive as perfect, Lord, we cast that down. And we don't look at what we see with our natural eyes or what we perceive as perfect. But the perfection, Lord, that you've taught us, Lord, that is in your or in our obedience to you, Lord. and keeping our focus and our hearts on You, Lord. You alone. That's what You sent us here for, Lord. To be like Jesus. So that we can touch, minister to, deliver, and heal those who are oppressed as Jesus did. And as we do that, Lord, we find there's no time for any other consideration. There's no time for any other thoughts or actions, Lord, except to do what You say. Teach us, Lord, as You are the potter and we are the clay, to be obedient, willing, and quick. Not to be right, but to be righteous, Lord. And that's when justification comes. That's when freedom comes and deliverance comes. It's when we're right in Your eyes. Remind us that You've given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Remind us that You've not done or given us anything that would let the enemy prevail. But we have authority and dominion over him because You've already done the work. And now we walk in that authority. Remind us often, Lord, of that knowledge. The enemy is a defeated foe. He's already been dealt with. Remind us, Lord, that this is a fight of faith. And that fight of faith is that we don't succumb to the garbage, the filth, the corruption, and the ways of this world. And that we don't look like the accuser, but we look like the Savior. The one who was obedient in everything he did and everything he said to You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Remind us often, daily, Lord, moment by moment, what that means, Lord. And help us to keep that in the forefront of all we do and say and think, Lord, and all we see. And remind us also, Lord, that we've been commanded by You not to know anything among us except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We have this power and authority, Lord, because of the bruises and stripes, the torture that Jesus went through before He even went to the cross, which bought all of this for us. And the final period was when He died on the cross and gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished." And today we proclaim, Lord, "It is finished." Now, Lord, anoint these lips, the coal from off the altar of God, touch them. I yield myself to be Your oracle, Lord. I want no accolade. I want no attention brought to me. I want the attention brought to Your word, Lord. To You, Lord. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of accolade, Lord. You are worthy of being lauded, glorified. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name for not only what You've accomplished already, but what's going to be accomplished this morning. And we say, Lord, we're excited that we're going to walk out of here different than when we came in. With all the corruption and all the garbage and all the filth laid aside. And we see only You, Lord, in everything we see. And Your desire for others and Your love for them, which never changes, never diminishes, never goes away, but stands. And like You, Lord Jesus, made that decision, we make that decision now. For Your honor and glory, we say, Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I think we ought to give Him praise this morning because we've seen a plan of the enemy thwarted and destroyed and set free this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Now we need to stand in the liberty that He set us free in. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. No weapon formed against us will prosper. No plan, no attack, no device. And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo! That's exciting. Praise You, Lord. I've got a short message. Don't panic. We won't be here past 1 o'clock. It's okay. I'm being silly. I'm being facetious here. Don't panic. Now I know why God didn't give me more. I want to look at another familiar scripture. We've looked at it 150 million times. Now we're going to look at it 151. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, we need to approach the Word every day like our lives depend on it. We can't afford to operate in opinions and thoughts that are outside of the realm of the Word of God and the promise of God that He's given us. Amen? We can't afford it. It is life and death. We need to treat each one that we come in contact with like every word that we say to that person, no matter who we're talking to, means life and death for them. Amen? Come on now. This is not hard. Maybe heavy, but it's not hard. And since God is the one who works in us, we can do the will of God. Amen? And He works in us both to will, to have the will, and to do the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Hopefully, and I don't hope, I know God will give new insight, even though you may... You know, I just thought of something. How many of us at times... And again, you don't have to raise your hands. Just before God. God knows anyway. You can't hide it from Him. When we hear things, sometimes we approach it like it's old stale milk. We kind of want to vomit it out. Oh my God, not again. Oh my God, thank you, Lord, again. Because I didn't get it the first time, so you wouldn't be bringing it up again. Amen? Is that okay? Praise the Lord. This has been on my heart for 2 weeks now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen? Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now listen. In the light of what we've talked about this morning, I see this in a totally different way than I came in here this morning even with. You know, sometimes the enemy slips in a little zinger, or he tries to. And this is where it's important that we stand on the Scripture that says, I am determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When you've got that attitude, there's no room to look at somebody else in any light other than covered with the blood of Jesus, if they're born again and a believer. Amen? There's no room. There's no place. The enemy can't get a foothold in. That word trust means to have confidence or to be confident in the Lord, to be bold in the Lord, to be secure in the Lord, and to feel safe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that if we can't be safe and feel safe in this place, God gave Gene a song, Sanctuary, for a reason. This is a sanctuary. There should never be any fear of coming here or what we might encounter in this place. There should be joy, unspeakable, full of glory, at everything that we anticipate or that we come here for, because it's going to be God. If it's not, then once again, don't trust in your own understanding. You know, sometimes the enemy can take a thought, and because of our still hanging on to, or maybe not hanging on to, but not even realizing we still have a little religiosity, can I use that word, in us, we get weirded out. Excuse me. We get weirded out. We get wild ideas and things. And it's not wrong. But remember, thoughts are not sin. It's letting the sins have an impact on you or to affect you adversely so that it affects somebody else adversely. Am I safe in saying that? See, remember, God knows our frame, and He remembers that we're but dust. And that's why He has to work in us constantly, day in and day out. That's why He had to send the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to consider our ways daily. Left to our own devices, we are self-destructive. Left to our own thoughts, our own abilities, we are self-destructive. If God's Word says in me, and He tells us in us that there dwells no good thing, then that means that anything apart from Him is not a good thing. And we need to consider that every moment of every day. I need to consider that every moment of every day. And in doing that, when the enemy tries to come and point a finger and say, you know, whatever it is, rah, 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 I can say, stop. You're wrong. That's not what the Word says. That's not what was accomplished on the cross. And I will not entertain that. You're able to take those thoughts captive those imaginations captive, bring them into the submission and the obedience of the Word of God and Christ, and cast them down. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I like that. So trust in the Lord. Have confidence. Be confident. Be bold. Be secure. And feel safe in the Lord. That word trust in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary means to place confidence in or rely on the truthfulness or the accuracy of the Lord. Amen? Remember, there's nothing negative or ungodly in Him. There are no bad thoughts in Him. Amen? Now, if you don't believe that, go back once again and read it until you get it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read it till you get it down. We sang a song this morning. His love, perfect love, never ends in spite of us. You know, there's not a person in this room, and you can get mad at me, but that's okay. I've already been there and done that, got the T-shirt from when I sat here, when the enemy tried to tell me, you're being attacked, you're being humiliated, that we are screw-ups. What do I mean by that? That doesn't mean that everything we do is wrong, but everything outside of God is wrong. We're going to think the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to look the wrong place. We're going to talk about the wrong things. Amen? Is that the truth? Praise the Lord. Then it goes on to say, as we're trusting in the Lord, to do it with all. And that means the whole or the totality or with everything in us. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And lean. That word lean means, once again, trust. There's a special emphasis and punctuation on that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not, and don't trust anything else except Him. Good advice. And then understanding means, let me read it again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That word understanding is, don't lean to your own discernment. Don't lean to your own faculty or faculties. Five physical senses are motivated by the heart. What is the heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9? Deceitful, desperately wicked above all things. And the only way we know it is by the revelation and the light of the Word of God. Amen. I was reading John 1, the first chapter, and just going through that last night as I was studying this. And I looked for a definition, and I was amazed at how that if you go on and you read about the first 8 to 13 verses in John 1, what you find is that very chapter gives you the definition of exactly what's being said there. It's identical to what's in the concordance in the Hebrew language. It's identical. It's amazing. And I never saw that before. Don't lean to your own discernment and faculties. Remember that the enemy came to Jesus and tried to deceive Him when He came down off the mount or off the fast and lied to Him with the Word. And so we need to be very careful that we ask God everything before we move or before we consider anything. Is this possible? What does your Word say? What did you accomplish on the cross? Is there any validity to what I'm thinking or what has been put in my mind? If we use the Word as a mirror or as a, if we will, an X-ray as to what's underneath the things we think and say, we might just be different in a major way, in a way we've desired. In fact, I don't think there's any might about it. I can tell you we will be. And that's every one of us. Please remember, when a person stands up here, whether it's Bob or myself or Stan or whoever, Pastor Justice, we're not preaching to you from perfection. We're preaching to you from need. Can you all say amen to that? Can you understand that that's what's going on? I know Bob can because he's a preacher. But that's where we're coming from. I've been in churches where you get the air that the pastor is everything. Well, bless God, I've arrived. I got the hotline to God. No. You're in more need than the people you minister to. Do you understand? Your heart, your heart needs to be more guarded, I'll say that, than anybody's. Because you need to understand that you're standing up here exposed to everything and everybody. To all the opinions, the accusations. And can I tell you something? Not just the preacher who stands up here, but you as a Christian. Everything you do, everything you say, all your actions, and everything you act out in your life screams like God or an accusation against you. Well, accusations don't stand. We're not perfect. We know that. But the point is we run to God, say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Again, our stand is not to be right in the world's eyes, but to be righteous, to do no harm to one another. Amen? So we need to be careful that we think about that, that that's what's motivating us. And the only way you can do that is not by your ability, but by the Holy Spirit in you, who is your comforter, your teacher, your guide, your illuminator. Amen? Is that truth? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And that word wise there just means that. Don't be wise. I don't have all the answers. I don't think I've ever stood up here, and if I have, I openly, publicly say I'm sorry if I ever gave the impression that I had all the answers. Because I don't. And I think since you all know me pretty darn well, you know that's the truth. I don't have all the answers. But I have the one who is the answer. Amen? And if I listen to Him and if I listen to the Spirit that He sent to be my comforter and to keep me in these days in the absence of Jesus' physical presence here, even though we know He's here spiritually, then I'm going to and you're going to turn out okay. We're going to be okay. Let me just be absolutely straightforward and honest. You open yourself to the enemy if you have any thought that's negative or that puts you in a light other than what Jesus says about you, says you have, and says what He did by obeying the Father in your life. You have opened the door. You are now entertaining the enemy. Those thoughts do not come from God. They are not from God. And you need to cast them down. And you need to be in your right mind enough to say, that's not God. That's the devil. How many here would stand and say, I've defrauded the government. I've defrauded somebody. I've gone into a store and stolen. I'm a bad person. Do you really think that? Do you really think that? Let me ask another question. When did you ever hear God say something like that to you? So if God says it, it can't be truth. It has to come from another source. A source you need to, I need to, leave alone. Cast it down. It's not true. It's only your perception from your heart. Your lying heart. You missed a good place to say amen. Your lying heart. If God doesn't say He gave it or it's one of the promises of this word, then it's not from God. And you need to stop thinking about it. You need to stop entertaining it. You need to stop meditating on it. You need to stop focusing on it. And when it comes, you need to take authority over it. We can stand till we're blue in the face for one another, but if we don't, the person who's in the struggle doesn't face it and say, that's not God, that's not what He says, not based on your feelings of, well, I messed up, you don't know what I've done. Dear God, when are we going to grow up and stop that nonsense? When are we going to stop that? Do you set out every morning to do wrong? Come on now. Well then, why do you let the accuser come and accuse you, put blame on you? Are you not sure in God? Do you think you're something special? That God's power wasn't good enough? What He suffered, His torture, was not good enough to do what He needed to do and what He said He did for you? We're going to pray for toes afterwards, so if you're hurting a little bit, just hang on. We'll get there and there'll be healing at the end of the service. God's reaching out this morning in love. We hear things like, you know, my God, I've heard this since I was a little boy. You're your own worst enemy. Well, you're right. Left to my devices, my thoughts, my actions, and my foolish, stinking thinking. You're right, I am. But you see, I rely on the greater one who dwells, who lives constant, who remains in me. Amen? How many want to live there? Don't be too quick to answer now. I want to live there. And I'm going to go there whether anybody else goes or not. I'll just tell you right now. I've made my decision. And God's not out to get me. And the enemy has no power over me. Did you hear me? God's not out to get you, and He has no power over you unless you succumb to His lies and become insecure. Insecurity does not come from God. What does the Bible say? Boldness and confidence. That's your inheritance. That's your heritage from God. Boldness and confidence. And even if you did mess up, God doesn't come and beat you over the head and say, oh, you really did a good one that time. Oh, boy, now you stepped in it. He comes and says, I love you. Let's go this way. Let's don't do that anymore. There is no condemnation in God. If your heart condemns you, you need to finally, once and for all, stand up and say, I am not condemned by God. And if my heart's condemning me, it's not from God. I'm not receiving it. I'm not listening to it. I'm not going to speak it. I'm not going to meditate on it. If I get up in the middle of the night with something bothering me, then I'm going to take it to God and leave it there. Leave it there. And that's only possible with the help of God and the Holy Spirit. God through the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? That's only possible through God by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Philippians 3:3 says. It says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That doesn't just mean the physical abilities, but the mental thoughts, the mental abilities, and all those things that are meant to bring accusation or to bring discomfort or dis-ease to us. Amen? Now listen to what that word circumcision means. It's used of Christians who are separated from the unclean multitude and truly consecrated to God. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't know what circumcision is? Consult your local rabbi. No, I'm just kidding. Talk to the medical folks. Does anybody here not know what circumcision means? There is a cutting away of something that can be detrimental and hurtful or cause dis-ease or malady in the body. Amen? Done for purity. So what God's saying here in this scripture, Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision, or we are Christians separated from the unclean multitude. The unclean multitude. Everything outside that door is the unclean multitude. If they're not in the kingdom of God, they're an enemy of God. It doesn't mean God doesn't love them. It means they're an enemy of God because they don't think and act and trust Him like they should. Is that right? If you don't believe that, just listen to the news today or read the newspaper and you'll understand very quickly what I'm talking about. And you are truly consecrated to God. You say, I am truly consecrated to God. Amen. You need to say it with conviction and mean it. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I don't care what man it is, except the person of Jesus Christ. I don't care if he stands in a political office. I don't care if he stands in a courthouse. I don't care if he drives a police car. I don't care if he's an insurance salesman. I don't care who he is. It's better to, and preacher too. Don't put your confidence in man. Put your confidence in God. And trust God and pray that that person who God set to lead you, or that you're leading, that you can be the leader that you need to be for the people that you're entrusted with. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust man. Trust God. Like I mentioned earlier, I told that preacher, again, not disrespectfully, I still love this man to this day. I'll follow God as long as you follow God. I'll follow you as long as you follow God. And that means there can't be any of you involved. Because at that point, I'm going to consider what God wants, and I'm going to ask God, is it time to go or is it time to stay and back this person up till you get the change, you put the change in them. Oh, it's easy for men to abandon one another, get the hackles up on the back of their neck, get their tail over the dash, as Stan would say, and then turn around and run. Well, I mentioned to you earlier, you didn't call yourself here. I didn't call you here. God did. Who do you answer to? Who are you going to face in judgment if you make the wrong decision? Not me. Do I need to say that again, or do we all get it? And that judgment, you don't need to be in fear of hell, but you need to be heartbroken at the very thought that you may have displeased God or caused Him discomfort or, you know, hurt. Amen? As a child, all you want to do is please your parents, right? Isn't that what we are? Sons and daughters of God? And isn't that the focus of every person here, to please Him? Not please ourselves, not please somebody else, but please Him? And in pleasing Him, that's when we become effective in the kingdom of God? Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, better to trust in the Lord and put your confidence in princes. Honey, if your focus is in the government, or what they can do, or what they're doing right or wrong, you're in a very, very bad place. You're in a very bad place. We don't even need to talk about it. We already know what they're all about. We don't need to discuss that, especially in church. We don't need to discuss those things. We already know what they're about. What we need to be doing is falling on our faces and saying, God, save them. Open their eyes. Let them see what Jesus did. Let them see the love that they're passing by, that they're pushing away. Let them see that there's better things and a higher way for them that'll bring joy, unspeakable, full of glory, happiness, peace. Amen? To their life. I don't know if I mentioned this to everybody, but I know I mentioned it to a few here a while back. You know, the Bible says to pray for them, but that doesn't mean pray for God's wisdom to be in them. How can God's wisdom be in somebody who's not following God? It's not possible. I'm sorry. If that upsets your apple cart or that, you know, attacks your thinking, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It's the Word. Take it to God. Don't kill me. Take it to God. He either tell you, yeah, he's right, or yeah, he's wrong. And then you pray for me. That God will straighten me out. Amen. The same with me for you. Amen. I'm not going to let the enemy or circumstances cause discord for me against you. I'm not going to take accusations against any of you. I'm not going to entertain them. I'm not going to listen to them. Trash cans back there by Bill and by Patrick and back in the back. It's not here. It's not here. These are not trash cans. And I've made up my mind. How about you? I've made up my mind. I don't care if somebody wants to come and they even hint, intimate that they're going to say something negative against you. I'm going to tell them right there, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not listening to that. I don't care if it even looks like it's true. I don't care. Even if it looks like it's true, I don't care. Now, sometimes we look at one another and we make observations, but those observations don't necessarily mean they're true. They're just observations. They need to be put under the microscope of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And the Spirit of God. That's what I said, this Holy Spirit. I guess I was redundant because God wanted to get the point across. Under the microscope of the Holy Spirit, not our microscope. Can I tell you something? Your lenses are all fogged up. Your lenses are corrupt on your microscope. But the microscope of God. And can I tell you something? If you're really walking as a child of God, then you don't even go there. You just, Lord, I release it to you. I pray for that person, Father. I pray that you would open their eyes. Lord, first of all, I pray that you'd open my eyes. If I am wrong in my perception, then Lord, show me. I want to be straightened out, not straighten somebody else out. That's not my job. That's not your job. You can't straighten somebody else out until you straighten yourself out. Oh, and you know what? You haven't got enough life or breath in you to do that. Did you hear me? You ain't got enough life or breath in you to do that. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep you from being caught. That's Proverbs 3:26. The Lord will be your confidence. How can He be your confidence? When you make the decision, He's right and I'm wrong in everything. Now, let me say something. When you feel the revelation of God come into your heart about something, and you make a decision, then you need to hang on to that with everything within you until God says, wait a minute, you may not have the whole picture. I don't think you'll ever hear Him say you're totally wrong, but I think you don't have the whole picture. Let me help you with a little bit more understanding. But in the meantime, you pray for them the way you hope people are praying for you. Based not on your actions, but your desires and what's in your heart. Not on the outward appearance, but what's in the heart, which you and I can't see, only He can. So what do? Father, I release that person. I release that situation into your hands. I trust you, Lord. Remember, trust. Trust. I have confidence in. I'm confident in. I am secure in. And I feel safe in your judgment. Amen. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. I can remember standing at people's faces. Can I just expose myself a little bit here? Would you mind? I can remember standing in people's faces, being convinced that I was right. And I wasn't even convinced. It's just what I read someplace, and I had an opinion. And by God, you're going to hear my opinion or else. And I was wrong. I was 110% wrong. In my thought, in my perception, and in my actions toward that person. That was arrogance and pride. That wasn't love. That wasn't humility. That wasn't compassion. That was flat-out pride and arrogance. I know none of you have ever been there. Never done that. But since we're being honest this morning, I got to tell you. Well, see, I know the truth, so I'm just, you know what I'm saying. But I appreciate the heart. So does God. When pride comes, then comes shame. And I can read you scriptures. I've got scriptures listed down here. I'm going to tell them to you. If you want me to read them, I will. But they're good scriptures. Proverbs 13:10 says, By pride comes nothing but strife. I got to be right. I can't possibly be wrong. And you need to run from that as hard and as fast as you can. If you ever hear that come from the pulpit or from a radio or from any place else, you need to run and pray. Fall on your knees and pray for that individual. Because they're headed for a real problem. They're headed for a real problem. And you know what? I'm going to remind you, one of the things we don't often think about sometimes when we run our mouths, that we have to give an account for every idle or unproductive word that we speak to another human being, Christian or non-Christian. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write that, folks. You'll give an account for every idle or unproductive. That word idle means unproductive word you ever speak. Words have power. Once and for all, we need to understand they're either creative or destructive. It's okay to say amen. It's the truth. You're not agreeing with me, you're agreeing with God. You're agreeing with the Word. But with the well-advised is wisdom. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand that when God gives messages like this, He gave it to me because I needed to hear it. He gave it to me because I need change. Like the song we sang this morning, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. I remember that scripture now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, created me clean hands and a pure heart. This was David crying out, created me clean hands and a pure heart, and renew a right spirit within me. That needs to be our cry every day. Every day. The moment we open our eyes in the morning, created me clean hands and a pure heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Salvation is new every day. Let that be part of that salvation cry for the salvation of that day. Amen. The safety of that day. And then like the potter song we sang, He's the potter and we're the clay. David cried out again. He said, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways and see if there's any wicked way in me. Wicked way doesn't mean blatant sin. Wicked way, anything that's wicked is not God. It's opposite of God. It's opposite of peace and truth, understanding and love. That's wickedness. Wickedness is standing up saying I'm right and everybody else is wrong. That's wickedness. But that's not the end of the story. How many of you have ever heard the song on the radio? I can't remember the exact words now, but it says, you know, if God were to count our sins or our unrighteousness or our mistakes, who would stand? Who would stand? This church would be empty. We'd have no hope. But He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Amen. And set free. And He punctuated that. He put great power and authority behind that by saying, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. If you perceive any other thought, you're not hearing and believing what Jeremiah 29:11 says. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read you, that means the finger's pointing at me. Amen? They're thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. And to give you a hope and a future. Tell me the last time you felt hope when you were in despair. When was the last time you felt hope when you were in despair about anything? I can tell you, I never have. When I'm in despair, my head hangs down, my feet shuffle, and I feel like the weight of the world's on me. I feel like I've been run over by a truck, and then he backed up over again to see me ran over the first time. Amen? If you can't believe Jeremiah 29:11, you need help. Prayer. You need prayer. You need to have God renew your mind. And how do you renew your mind? How do you get to these places? It's by the washing of the water of the Word. You want to get clean? Let the water of the Word wash you, cleanse you. Proverbs 16:18 in closing. One more scripture after that. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit, in verse 19, with the lowly, than divide the spoil with the proud. Remember, I don't have to be right. I have to be righteous. It's not a question of my being right. That's not even an issue for me. My heart for you, when I talk to you, if you want to use the word deal with you in any way, whether it's talking, whether it's counseling, whether it's just sharing with you, it's for your good. It's not to harm you. Am I 100% perfect in that or effective? No. But I'm always aware that's what God says He desires. A contrite heart. Remember, it's not about you. It's not what you get out of it. It's what you give. And in the giving, you then get. God said that. God said that. Oh my goodness. Now that's childlike. My son, bless his heart, I can't remember how old he was. Maybe he was 5 years old, 6 years old. I don't remember. It's been a long time ago. He celebrates his 34th birthday today. And here he is. Somebody gave him some money for his birthday because they found out it was his birthday. It was $5. And this little guy, without even asking or telling anybody else what he's going to do, the offering plate came by and he threw it in the plate. Before we left that church that day, he had $10 in his pocket. Childlike innocence. God said it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to question it. It's innocence. We need to take examples from things like that. We've gotten too high and mighty as adults through our education, through our experiences, through what we think we know. We have knowledge. God gave us the knowledge and the wisdom how to use it. But don't let that be your sanctimonious attitude and makes you who you think you are. What you are, what you ever will be, is because of Jesus alone and Him crucified. You know, you're special because God says you're special, not because you say so. And Jesus would have come even if it was just for one of you. That's how special you are. I can tell you what, I'd rather feel special in that way than I would any other way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Final scripture, Proverbs 29. Verse 23. A broken spirit, a contrite heart. God loves that. God loves that. Proverbs 29, verse 23. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. Amen. Did I say 20? What did I say? 20? Well, let's go on. Oh, okay. Hey, that's all good. Let's read all the way to 27, starting in verse 23. Thank you, Donna. God must have wanted that one for a reason. There must be. It says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. Verse 25 again, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Justice for you and I comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. How many want to say that's me? That's me. I'm an abomination to the wicked. I like it. I'm not trying to be antagonistic. They think I'm peculiar. They're right. I said to some of you, I said, man, I'll tell you what, I said, I'm different. I know I'm different. Because of God. Not because I was created any better than anybody else, but because I'm just foolish enough to desire everything God has and to want to walk in it. And to give everything that God's given me back and into you and into the kingdom. To invest it in you and in the kingdom. I had somebody say to me one time, and I don't say this bragging at all, God knows, Bill, I've never met anybody like you. How many want somebody to say something like that about you? Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. I've never met anybody like you. I guarantee you, then you got an open door to touch hearts and lives. And why? In me, in my flesh, there's nothing good. There's nothing dwelling in me that's good in my flesh. It's because of God. Anything I am, anything I will be, anything I have is God's. It's because of Him. Amen? It's because of Him. I didn't earn it. It can't be stolen away from me. Unless I just fall asleep and let the enemy come in. We all know what the thief does when he comes in. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. God loves us. And He's invested so much power and wisdom and authority and insight and understanding in us. It's time we stood up, became adults, and started walking in it. Put the garbage behind, the pettiness, the upsets, the anger, the torment. It comes from the enemy. The accusations, the judgments. When we do that, then we're finally in a place where we can judge ourselves so that we don't have any need or that there's no one who'll be able to judge us. And any tongue who would rise against us to condemn us or to judge us, the Bible says our heritage is that we can condemn the judgment, not the person. That's our heritage. Just like Paul when he was accused and told that he was the one who killed Christians. Well, see, he knew enough to know that that was Saul, not Paul. Paul was a new creation. And he said, not me. I've done nothing wrong to any man. Was he lying? From a human perspective and a natural thinking, he was. But from God's perspective, he had a hold of a principle that was so real in him that no matter what anybody said, that guy was dead and gone. And he lived like it was dead and gone. Did he make mistakes? Oh, yeah. But you show me somebody in the Word other than Jesus who didn't make a mistake. And I'll have to change my thinking and consider something else. Jesus came to save and to seek and to save that which was lost. In the case of a believer, what he's saying is to seek and save those who haven't arrived yet. He's never done seeking and trying to save us. Salvation's new every day, amen? It's new every day. Just like you get up and take a shower every day, you need to bathe yourself in the Word of God. You need to wash yourself with the water of the Word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If God's moving on your heart, come get prayer. Whether it's a need physically, emotionally, spiritually, whether it's just standing up here, just you and God. You know, sometimes God honors just in action. You don't have to come up here and spill your guts about everything that's going on. God knows. But God honors the action when we're not ashamed to stand up and say, I need help. I need help. I'm not where I want to be. And I'm not where, or I haven't arrived yet where I'm trying to get to, but I'm on the process and I want to do it right. Just a prayer of agreement. That's all it is. God honors that. He says if you honor Him, He'll honor you. Scripture says hope makes not ashamed. Hope doesn't bring shame. It brings release, freedom. Amen. Hallelujah. God loves you. I love you. And He is our hope and our future. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for accomplishing what God wanted accomplished in this house, in me and in your people, and in all who hear this message, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're right. You're righteous. But because Jesus is in us, that's what makes us righteous or gives us right standing with you, Lord. We know we're fallible. We know we need you. We know we haven't arrived. We know we fall far short every day in our actions and our thoughts. But Lord, we want to change. We want our hearts changed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you play that song? Praise the Lord. Let's just sing this in closing. Just sit there. If God's dealing with you, let God just continue to deal with you. If He's ministering to you, I guarantee it's not hurtful. Hallelujah. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. Let me be more like you. I am the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I say. Stand and sing it with me in boldness. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O make it ever true.
Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Thank you, Lord, that your people are healed, sanctified, justified, well, prosperous, Lord. They have all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in them, Lord. And as they go from this place, Lord, I thank you that your countenance shines upon them with radiance, Lord. That your hand is moving and manifesting in ways to bless them and to show your blessing to all those who look on, Lord. I thank you for the life of God that's in them, Lord, that you placed there, and for the love they have for you. Now go with them, Lord. Let every step, and we thank you, Lord, that every step is blessed, prosperous, and fulfilled in you, in Jesus' name. Your protection is upon them, Lord, in everything they do. And no matter what happens, they won't even stumble or stub their toe because your angels are watching over. We praise you and thank you and give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.